Here it smelled like feces, it smelled like urine.
Yeah.
That was mouse. You know that. Mm-hmm. Now they got the new mouse, which I think is aldehydes. It's that kind of peanutty, nutty flavor that most of the time goes away with natural wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so a lot of people get nervous about it. Zinfandel being one of the prime candidates for having mouse.
Really?
The new mouse, not the old mouse. I did a rosé 3 or 4 years ago, and I included some Zinfandel in it. And then when we bottled it, that aldehyde flavor came out. And I made the mistake of sending it out too soon, and it Jenny tasted, oh, it's got the mouse. But it did go away after a while, but it's just, it's a completely, it's not the old mouse. It doesn't smell like rodents and what, doesn't smell like a mouse to me. I mean, this new style, I know what the new one is, it's aldehydes, and you particularly see it in unsulfided wines, and it just takes time to work its way through. Mm-hmm. And Zinfandel is really known for.
Do you think that it's something that happens during malolactic? Because I've never seen it in wine that doesn't have mouse.
Well, that's interesting. I've never thought about it. Because I saw it in a rosé. So
it could, though. The rosé could have gone through mellow.
Yeah. They all go through malolactic here. That's the other part of how do you keep a natural wine from
right. No, if it's natural, it's yeah. So, but there used to be, I remember, Demi and Dylan Show from Mont-Louis, and he had mouse on a white wine, and he said, I've never even seen mouse with white wine ever. Huh. And it's just, and for a while there you would really actually never see it in the old days, right? And now it's on anything. So why? Climate change?
Well, it could be. I mean, it brings up an interesting point in that I don't imagine that very many natural wines are inducing malolactic.
Exactly.
So it's alive in the buildings. And it could be an evolution because of climate change. I mean, because the other part of it is you take areas that have been very cool and start all of a sudden become hot, they're having problems with stuck fermentations because the yeast doesn't, if you don't have to have 25, if you're only at 22, the yeast you don't have to have yeast that can ferment at 25, 26, 27.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they eventually will come,
right.
But there's no need for them. I mean, and I think that evolution, again, of malolactic could be very well, I mean, I never thought about it, but it makes sense that we're seeing complete changes, and you're going to see them in natural wines because you can do anything you want. Obviously, if you have conventional wines, whatever is missing, you could put it in.
Right. There's going through old literature from Amarin and just knowing how terrified California and the New World was about natural mallow. And so even back in the old, so people would be native alcohol could always inoculate from mouse. And I think it goes back to fear of mouse.
Hmm.
That's
so, but in Amarin's book, when he talked about mouse, he talked about the rodent mouse, the real.
Yeah, the old mouse, the old mouse.
The real mouse.
Not
I mean,
the, yeah.
Where it smelled like if you got a mouse nest in your house,
right.
There's that smell that is distinctively rodents.
Yeah, and I'm really thinking about the new mouse that maybe.
Yeah.
The other thing is going back to putting in the bottle way too soon.
And
we're drinking all this young wine now, and especially people who do sulfuric bottling. This is my theory. Sulfuric bottling, you have mouse, it's not going to resolve.
No, you don't. You killed it.
You kill it.
You killed it.
You're basically sealing it in.
I always remember talking to you at 10 Bells about how you were just so unhappy with all these young winemakers sending you bottles of wine that weren't ready. I quoted that a lot. But the second part of that is drinking wine as long as we have. You drink those young wines, you're going to ruin your stomach. I mean, you're going to ruin this right here. I mean, it you can't drink wine like that.
Right.
You can when you're young. My dad used to always say, like, I was drinking out of the press.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. And sure enough, now there's whole seasons that go by that I can't drink young wine. It's just, you can't do it.
That's really interesting. That is kind of, that's a very old world attitude. I remember tasting in Burgundy and nothing had gone through mallow. And I got, it actually had nothing, I don't think it had anything to do with the mallow. But I came back to where I was staying with Becky Wasserman and she said, you're tasting too much. You cannot taste now.
Yeah.
The wines are about to go through mouth.
Yeah.
No. Tasting too much. which is pretty interesting. So it was the same thing.
And we have a whole generation of young people that love acidity because they never experienced it. But it's unless you're really careful about it, you're gonna shorten your ability to drink. Well, yeah, I mean that's the other thing when you. Like my petites were almost 2 years in the barrel, tasting that stuff that's almost a year in the barrel. Mm-hmm. So different.
Yeah.
And those changes don't go, it's not a gradual change. I mean, well, we saw it with Caleb and his Kriegeri. I mean, we had a Syrah that was just hard, and all of a sudden it just, like a flower. I mean there was no reason for it except for the fact that it just was, when it was ready, it was ready.
It was just ready.
Truly ready.
And there's this whole different notion of what's ready now.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand it. And it's very possible that I would like to think that is just a fad or an aspect of economic pressure.
Well, I think it's both, and I think it's also just being so in love with the notion of the newness of things and tasting things for the first time and you're calming down a little bit, you know. It's seeing what aged wine turns into. I mean, that's the other part of it, but